Welcome to Renew Devotionals. In this time with God and His Word today, we'll be studying the book of Amos as we continue on in our Through the Bible series, Cover to Cover. Before beginning, take a few moments to center your heart. Ask God to give you faith, wisdom, and humility as you hear and respond to His Word. Our scripture today comes from Amos chapter 5, verse 23 through 24.
Take away from me the noise of your songs. I will not even listen to the sound of your harps. But let justice roll down like waters, and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream.
Think about if you were given 100 free concert tickets to see an incredible band. What would you do with all those tickets? Most likely you'd give them away to family and friends and then start handing them out left and right. To the person checking you out at the grocery store, to the neighbor you pass on your daily jog, to your friend's cousin you've never met. When we're given an over-the-top generous gift, the natural response is to turn and share it with others. And it's the same with the gift of God's love. When we receive His undeserved, unconditional love, we should respond by letting this love overflow to those around us. But in the book of Amos, we see God's people neglecting to respond to God's love in this way. Amos is an Israelite shepherd and farmer, and he's called to speak on God's behalf to Israel. His ministry takes place before the fall of the northern kingdom of Israel, a time of great wealth and prosperity for the nation. Amos, however, says these riches are not a sign of God's favor. He confronts Israel for their idolatry and acts of injustice. In this community, we see injustice such as the wealthy allowing the poor to be sold into debt slavery and profiting at their expense. We see men abusing women. We see the privileged apathetically living in laziness and luxury while neglecting to care for their neighbors in need. God is very grieved by all of this. What makes matters worse is that those who are worshiping idols and engaging in these unjust acts are continuing to worship God as if their sin doesn't matter. But God sees this as false worship. True love for God always leads to love for others. In Amos 2:2, God says, "You only have I chosen among all the families of the earth. Therefore, I will punish you for all your iniquities." So, because Israel was chosen by God to be His people and represent Him to the world, they have a great calling to respond to God in true worship and love for their neighbor. But Israel has rejected this calling, and so God announces that they are now facing judgment. God is merciful and patient, so He calls Israel to abandon their false worship and injustice to avoid this judgment. But Israel is not able to change. God Himself is the only source of hope for His people. God says in Amos chapter 9, "In that day I will raise up the fallen booth of David and wall up its breaches. I will also raise up its ruins and rebuild it as in the days of old, that they may possess the remnant of Edom and all the nations who are called by my name." Israel's hope lies in the reality that one day God will send a king who will reestablish His people from all the nations. Judgment will not be the end of the story. We now know that this king came in the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus fulfilled the role Israel failed, and He modeled true love for God and others. He made friends with the social outcast. He healed the sick and handicapped. He respected women. He honored the poor. And in the greatest act of compassion and love, He gave His very life for us while we were still His enemies. So, just as God called Israel to be a community of true worship and love, So God now calls Christians to love as Jesus loved them, that the world might be drawn to God and to salvation. The New Testament calls followers of Christ to do things like giving generously to the poor, to the extreme point that there are no more needy people around us. It goes so far to say that if you're not taking care of the needy, your faith is dead. It also calls us to open our homes to immigrants and social outcasts, to people who can do nothing for us. As made clear in his parable about the Good Samaritan, Jesus calls us to love everyone as we'd want to be loved, regardless of race or politics, of class or religion. Jesus said the way you love the poor and needy is actually an exact representation of your love for him. Now, this message isn't meant to be a guilt trip aiming to get you to give or serve more. It's an encouragement to reflect on the extravagant love that's been given to you in Christ. It is only in Jesus's love for us that we receive the power to love. Not love that inflates our egos and runs out when the relationship gets frustrating or unfulfilling. Love that keeps flowing out unconditionally and radically. I love the way Pastor Tim Keller talks about this in his book, Generous Justice. He says, only if you see that you have been saved graciously by someone who owes you the opposite, will you go out into the world looking to help absolutely anyone in need. Once we receive the ultimate, radical neighbor love through Jesus, can we start to be the neighbors the Bible calls us to be? Keller cites the message of a 19th century Scottish minister to his congregation who challenged his people with these words. You say your money is your own. Well, Christ might have said, my blood is my own. My life is my own. Where would we be then? You say the poor may abuse your generosity. Christ knew that thousands would trample his blood under their feet, that most would despise it, that many would make it an excuse for sinning more. Yet he gave his own blood. If you would be like Christ, give much, give often, give freely to the vile and the poor, the thankless and the undeserving. Do we realize the magnitude of the love and compassion we have been shown in Christ? Pause for a moment to just meditate on what has been given to you in Jesus. Loving others in response to God's love is as simple as keeping our eyes open to the need around us and responding with compassion. Is there a single mom at your church that could use help with babysitting? Do you have a coworker or classmate that would appreciate you sitting with them at lunch? Is there a nonprofit serving an underprivileged neighborhood in your community that you could give financially to? If you feel led, would you take a moment now to ask God to help you reach out to those in need today with the same love that's been shown to you? As you listen to the worship song, praise God for the richness of his love poured out on us in Jesus.
For everyone who's hurting, wait on the Lord. For everyone who's broken, wait on the Lord.